Hello, and welcome to That Tech Pod, where we discuss all things e-discovery, data privacy, cybersecurity, and tech innovations. I'm Laura Milstein, and I know a little bit about tech.
And I'm Shelby Bush, and I know a little bit less about tech.
But she doesn't need to, because she is guest hosting today with me for a very special guest that we are bringing on today's show. We bring on heavy hitters each week to help us break down these topics, and today, Shelby, who are we talking to?
Today, we're talking to Elena Percival. She is a CEO and co-founder of Women Who Code. Under Elena's leadership, the organization has grown to serve 343,000 members in 147 countries, which is incredible. Elena has been published by Forbes, Huffington Post, and the Wall Street Journal, just to name a few. She's an accomplished tech speaker, appearing at WSJ.DLive, CodeMotion Milan, Grace Hopper, Columbia University's Social Enterprise, Harvard, WeCode, and more. Elena has spoken on a range of topics from development and retention models to intersectional diversity and equity-centered decision-making in data strategy for the United Nations to Social Justice and Advocacy in STEM at Harvard University. Elena is also an angel investor, a venture partner at Valor Ventures, a scout for Picus Capital, and in 2022, she taught women-led in technology at Georgia State University. Elena also has two young sons, loves chocolate, and has been to more than 75 countries. Elena, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
We're really excited to have you. You're one of the guests that for a while we were like, will we get her on the show? For all our listeners, this is a
when
big
will this happen?
Yeah. You know, when you reach out to someone on LinkedIn and you're always just like, are they even going to respond? And anytime someone reaches out to me, I'm just like, what are you trying to sell me? And they're like, Laura, it's your mom. I'm like, oh, sorry, mom. You know, like you just never know what you're going to get. So really excited to have you on. Really happy that you're here. Before we even talk anything tech or anything women, can you tell us more about yourself? So we intro'd you on, but you have a fascinating story and a fascinating background, and we'd love to kind of hear from you.
Yeah, thanks. So I'm Elena Percival. I'm an Atlanta native. When I graduated from university, I took a congressional exchange scholarship that took me over to Germany. So I lived in Germany for 4 years and ended up getting a job at Puma, the shoe company. So yes, I'm in tech, and I started off my career working in performance footwear. But I did kind of get some fundamentals, and what still shows up in my career today is one, it was international, as well as a focus in my career still today. And when I did get a role there, kind of I was early in my career. At the end of the day, I'd walk over to, you know, other teams and say, hey, what are you doing? Like, what can I help you with? And so it gave me exposure into other areas of the company and ended up getting promoted, you know, pretty quickly into a role that I definitely grew in. So the role was really interesting because it was project managing people who are far more senior to me. And so the key thing that I learned is you can't tell people way more senior than you, you have to do this, you have to do this now, and where's my project? You really have to, you know, make things clear, get buy-in. And that, you know, working with people who are much more senior than you is a lot like working with volunteers. You can't say to volunteers, this has to be done, this has to be now, we're done now, where's my deadline? And so that has really carried forward in running a volunteer-led organization. So after working for Puma in Germany, I came back and I did a MBA. I went to work for a really small women's performance footwear company where we were launching the first ever women's volleyball, the first ever women's basketball shoe. So this tiny company up against Nike and Mizuno. So I started employing some of the tactics that are really reminiscent of a startup. And I got a chance to move out to the Bay Area while I was at that company, and ended up deciding to, you know, do that because it was one of the cities that was just on my bucket list. If you get a chance to go there, do it. And so when I got out there, I'd had a really strong career up until that point. And people were like, Puma, the shoe company? What about Microsoft, Google, Facebook? You know, who are you? And so I started learning to code, started interacting with the tech community. And I just found I was beginning to do Women Who Code on the side eventually, and realized that I love spending time with smart women who are talking about technology. And as I got more into it, I realized it was important because I had eventually taken a role at a company where I was head of developer evangelism, and I was seeing the most senior people getting like the best jobs, and fewer than 5% of them were women. So I was interacting with them on a daily basis. And so I was like, I'm going to learn from you and I'm going to bring this into what Women Who Code does. And so that is where our mission around empowering diverse women to excel in technology careers came about. And in my opinion, it's the fastest and easiest way to create greater equality in the tech industry is by supporting the incredible talent that's here today.
That was incredible. I felt like we were at a really nice conference that we were all excited, and you were just the keynote speaker. That was the best keynote. I was like,
I can say I felt exactly the same. Fireside chat with
Susie. I'm motivated. Yeah. That's how I was feeling. I was just at Dreamforce. So it also could be in my head. I was just like, oh, that was great. That would have been there. So I loved it. I think what's really cool about what you're doing is one, of you're a woman CEO right there. That's not something that you hear often. Second, women in tech, not something that you hear often. So putting in kind of the combination of saying women that code, I think it was, I'm trying to think of how long ago, but not that long ago where what was coding? Had no idea. And then all of a sudden it's, this is it. This is what's happening. And I appreciate that it's kind of a, this isn't just a man's game. I'm sure there's a lot of great men out there that do a great job coding, but for all the women out there, like, we can do it too. We can speak all the languages, including code. Maybe not me, but some of us can. So I think it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's so important. Every industry right now is becoming a technology industry. And so no matter what path to leadership you want to take, you know, having that knowledge around capabilities within technology or think about data security is now as important as a leader in a company to understand that and support that as financial security.
Yeah.
I think it just changed so much in the past 10 to 20 years. And, you know, no matter where you are, if you're in shipping or finance or healthcare, media, fashion, fintech, you know, finance, all of these industries are becoming technology industries. So it represents opportunity, career growth, but also being part of what's next.
Yeah. When you were saying Puma and you mentioned a company, I think I may have heard of it. Nike. Yeah. It's not that big.
Kind of rings a bell. I don't know
if I knew it. But even just talking to all those, I think to the average person, they're thinking shoes. But in my head, I'm always thinking tech. So it's just like, oh, that's a large tech right there. Like, because you have to think, what's going into that? This is no longer just a product company anywhere, any of these companies. So everything is tech related. So let's get into some of the tech. Women Who Code. What does that mean? Do I sign up to learn, you know, I honestly brain froze and I was like, I can't think of one. JavaScript. I was like, I don't know. But, you know, tell us about it.
So Women Who Code is the largest and most active community of diverse women technologists. We serve about 350,000 members across 147 countries. When I say we're the largest, that's what I'm talking about. When I say we're the most active, let me tell you about just one of our programs. If you're wanting to learn whatever programming language, because we're language agnostic, we're putting on average of 5 free technical events every single day throughout the year. So about 1,800 Amazing. Events across whatever technology. And because we are led by such incredible volunteers who bring in thought leaders on whatever the latest technology is, whatever the newest company, the newest framework, the thing that you need to know next, our volunteers, they are paying attention. They're in the industry. They're leaders in the industry. And they're bringing in those thought leaders to speak to the community. And so whatever topic, whatever, you know, language you're wanting to get a little more depth around, you're welcome to join in and do that with Women Who Code. And all of our programming is free or scholarship accessible. We work with tech companies to be able to provide accessibility to our community.
Having a global organization, and when you're thinking of languages outside of coding, just normal languages, they're different everywhere you go. But coding isn't really like that. Do you feel like it's been hard to grow on a global level? Do you think it's been harder to say here in the US, we code this way, these women are more interested in this, and maybe in some other areas, they're either more advanced or less advanced, or I'm not even sure what I'm saying. I'm just trying to understand like the global reach here.
We actually have struggled to keep up with the demand, to be honest. You know, pre-2020, we were only in about 80 cities around the world, and we constantly had a wait list of about 50 cities or more, because women, diverse women all over the world deserve to have access to this community. And tech is in every single location. And now, once 2020 hit, we went entirely digital. So we were just able to explode in being able to reach members all over the world. We're starting to return, but we also know it's not possible to be in every city, you know, in every single country, you know, having people in person on the ground. And so how can we continue to find that balance of being accessible and bringing forward that incredible programming at a scale that's sustainable for our organization and allows us to keep growing? So that's our big challenge for the next 5 years.
That's awesome. I think it's super exciting, everything that you're saying too. And I'm curious, as someone who I know a little bit about tech, but not a ton, I'm curious what the best type of, or what your suggestion would be for a first type of programming language that someone learns if they're interested in coding. Do you think there is a particular language they should go to first to kind of cover all your bases and learn everything?
So that is very debatable. Yes. There's a lot of different opinions, but a great thing to do, you know, Women Who Code is free and all genders are welcome to participate in Women Who Code programming. We've got, you know, thousands of videos on YouTube, but coming and testing it out, talking to people about what your specific goals are, because, you know, if your goal is one thing, the first language for you to learn is going to be different. But then we also just have a list of resources on our website where, you know, you'll be able to see what are some online coding classes. A lot of those are going to be free, or tutorials or things like that, just to get started with. And then we also give away. So once you've kind of landed on, okay, this, you know, I'm going to pursue this path, like a data path or mobile path, or, you know, and then this is where I'm going to start with it. We give away coding scholarships to more in-depth coding schools. So we've already given away over $500,000 in coding scholarships to people in our community. So if you are thinking about coding and you think, oh, Women Who Code is for people who are already coding, you are still welcome to join, because you get to meet people who are already doing it and ask them questions and be welcomed and still have access to our community and our programming. And yeah, so you still belong.
Step up, Shelby. Which language are you going to choose
for? Gosh, yeah, I don't know. There's so many to choose from. Just, you know, throwing at me.
Do you speak any languages outside of English and coding?
I would say a little bit of a lot of languages, but I'm most fluent in German. I lived in Germany for 4 years, so it's been a few years, so I'm a bit rusty.
Happy Oktoberfest! Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's exciting.
Fantastic beer festivals all summer long, and that's just the one that's most known. And so your favorite beer festival might not even be Oktoberfest. It might be one of the other incredible festivals.
We're going to have to start just every time someone comes on, just tell us your favorite festival. We're talking about where you want to drink. If it's not one of those, we'll skip that. That's what we should start. Tell us, do you like living in the US better? Do you miss living in Germany? Tell us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I've been to over 75 countries. I've spent extensive time in a handful. I think there's something to love about every single place that you are. And I think that, you know, when you're happy and you're there with purpose, there's things about everywhere that are going to disappoint you or be hard. And there's going to be things that you love and that you cherish. And when you leave them behind, you miss them. So I can't say which one I love more. I love the lifestyle of living in Europe. And we could say, oh, let's drive to Champagne for the weekend. You know, that sounds so fancy, but, you know, it's only a couple hours. If I said, you know, let's drive up to Chattanooga, nobody would blink and say like, wow, that's incredible. But, you know, it takes about the same amount of effort.
Shelby, you want to do a drive this weekend? We'll pick somewhere doesn't sound cool at all.
We can just head up to Canada. That's probably the closest to us. Definitely the closest country to us, obviously. But we don't have any other options.
Oh, I love it. Depends on where, what part of the U.S. you're in, I guess. I want to talk to you about goals. So you were talking about other people's goals, but you are the CEO of, you know, a major company doing a lot of things. And you did kind of talk to a bit of the future of Women Who Code, but do you have any personal goals as the CEO? Is there anything that you want to achieve at this point? You've already achieved so much. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do from here?
I like this question. So I'll admit I'm ambitious and I've been thinking a lot about where I would like to be spending more of my time. And I would love to be spending more time focused on entrepreneurs, supporting and giving entrepreneurs greater access, diverse entrepreneurs greater access. And I think that theory is exactly in alignment with what I'm thinking about with Women Who Code is, you know, if we can have technologists get more access to leadership and power and influence, that they will then in turn work to make the industry more equitable and accessible to others who are coming after them. But if I can support entrepreneurs more, then they will be building teams and building practices and policies inside of their organization, as well as just broadly getting more power, influence, and wealth to be able to make decisions that'll hopefully make this world and this industry even better.
I say this to some people that come on, and very few, maybe 3% of people that come on, I make this statement, and the rest I think are all great, but don't fit in this statement. And you fit in this 3%. You may hate this statement, but I think it's important. You could run for office. The way you answer questions and just, I was just like, I'd vote. Okay, you've got my vote.
Sold us.
I know, it's just like there's some people I'm like, I love what you're saying, but you're not going to run for office, but you could, you would have my vote for sure. So if you ever want to, just know.
Thanks. I'll take it under consideration.
Just putting that out.
Add it to the list of something you want to accomplish.
Run your campaign, which may be bad for you, unclear, but I want to kind of follow that up a little bit. So you're mentioning and talking about wanting to help entrepreneurs, and that is so important. I mean, that is a word that we're using a lot more now and taking more seriously and showing a lot more respect, where I think maybe a decade ago, the closest to an entrepreneur was somebody like a real estate agent. And now we were like, that's a saturated market and an entrepreneur is a tech startup. And it's going from, is this something that I take serious, to that's the next Steve Jobs or whatever. Or we're going to start using you because we're going to start moving to the next females. It's a big change. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, everything's just so much more accessible now. Yeah. You know, when you can build a company while sitting in your bedroom, you know, with a computer, you know, and I'm not in my bedroom, by the way. I'm in my home office.
We can't verify that. Her background is blurred out. We don't know where she is.
but it's so much more accessible that, you know, you can kind of build and get the knowledge and, you know, go through all of the steps without really, you know, at least in the first phase, really in a small space, that if you have an idea, if you like have through your lived experience identified a gap, like there's no reason not to build it. But in building a company, you're doing everything. So it's, if you know if you're also passionate about doing something and already exists, you can also go and, you know, get a job doing that. So I think it's really a split way. And I thought when you become the boss that it's some very glamorous thing, and I would say talking to you today feels very glamorous, but you're also the one that sweeps the floor at the end of the day. You know, whatever isn't someone to do, it's your job to do it. And so it's you're actually everyone else, you're serving everyone else inside of your company and making sure that, you know, they have the direction and the goals and the personal security to be able to do their jobs.
Yeah. I heard some rumors that you are an investor as well. Is that an investor in your own company? Do you have some side projects? Do you currently look for different companies that you think are going to be something that you're intrigued by? And, you know, you do your own Shark Tank version of, you know, who's going to win the investment? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I'm a very small angel investor, but yes, I do invest myself, but I'm also, because I'm passionate about it, I just don't have as much time as I'd like to do. I do just constantly love to hear pitches from people. And I found through the years, I was also having access to investors. And so I would try to remember what their thesis was and what they like to invest in. And when I met someone I was excited about and could make that connection, if I can help you and I can do it in under 5 minutes, I'm super happy to do it. So I would make those connections. And so eventually some investors got smart and were like, hey, you know, we want first dibs on these investments you're sending our way. And so I'm a venture partner for Valor Ventures, which is an incredible woman-led venture capital firm based in Atlanta, which is where I'm living today. They're focused on the Southeast. And then I'm also a scout for Picos Capital because they have a global focus. So I can only send investments within their individual thesis to those two. So I still like to keep my eye out there on the market and hear what people are looking for.
Awesome. I guess one additional question I have with all of the exciting things that you've shared too, what are you most excited about for how the way the industry is moving right now, the way the coding, everything is happening with the coding industry as you see it? What are you most excited about?
Personally or the market?
Personally, let's say personally. And then you can say the market too, but personally, I want to
So personally, I love looking at like fintech startups. I just find them really interesting. I don't have a background in it at all, but I just really enjoy looking at those products and exploring the new products. If you're just talking about where the market is, you've got to be talking about AI right now. That is what everyone is looking mm-hmm. to figure out, how to make sure they're investing in whatever the next phase and that is. But I still think that there's so much opportunity, especially around the things and the industries and the companies that really are still working under traditional models. And I will say also, I had an idea. I'm a parent, and I was already talking with all my parent friends about, hey, are we going to get the spreadsheet together for summer camps, you know, in January when we all have to be thinking 6 months in advance and knowing what's happening in the city? And so if someone could solve that, that would also be great.
There's Laura's on that.
There's a company called Proxy Maps, Proxy, Proxy, but it's like a map company. You should look into it. You can make free maps. And this was also a mother, and she came on our show. I really like her. So shout outs to her. She lives in Seattle. And basically she made maps for her child that they wanted to know like where to go, like to get the most Halloween candy or whatever. And so you can create these little maps and customize it. And it was free. She may now, because I was like, you have to figure out how to make money with it. So maybe totally different. This is like a year ago, but you could use something with that maybe. Just, you know, pitch to her, even though I own it and sell it well, but I liked that.
But it sounds like she's in that space and might be able to tweak it.
It's been a while since she was on the show, but I liked her.
I did find one that was solving for that, but they're doing it on the business side, which makes more sense because businesses will pay more money.
Yeah, this slightly makes more sense, a little bit. You have been amazing. Before we let you go, is there any advice that you could give to our listeners, maybe people that want to know more about your company, maybe people that want to get into coding, maybe people that are afraid of coding and just want to know how to get away from it? Anything to anyone listening that you think they should know?
Shameless plug, join Women Who Code. You can find us at womenwhocode.com or on any social media channel as Women Who Code. And if you are a company that is hiring software engineers or wants to get in front of developer audiences, we have about 350,000. So please make sure you're sharing your best technical jobs via our job board. If your company has a philanthropic arm, encourage them to be supporting Women Who Code. It takes the industry to support all the incredible work that we're doing and making the tech industry more accessible and even better with your support.
With your support, Elena can be your next president. So remember, women who tech.
Oh, you were thinking really high when you were like, run for office. I was like, oh, city council member.
We start at the top. In this case, if you don't make president, you're getting somewhere. If you start kind of below, it's like, you know, I didn't make governor. It's like, well, what are you going to do? Now you got to go to school council. That's too stressful. Go to the top. So if it doesn't work out, you have a lot of options to fall back. You have been excellent. We really appreciate you coming on the show today. For everybody listening, go right now, quickly check your email if you haven't. I'm kidding. I'm sure everybody has. And make sure that you look at all of the exciting stuff that we put in there that is going to direct you to learn more about Elena and Women Who Code. And don't forget to subscribe because we still want you to listen to us. So thank you all. And thank you specifically, Elena. So Shelby, we just spoke with Elena Percival. She is interesting. I'm definitely going to vote for her when she runs for office. I think it's pretty clear that she's got my vote.
100%.
I really appreciate what she's doing. Personally, I think her background is intriguing. I mean, 75 countries.
That's incredible.
I'm going to make it a record to challenge that. I'm going to have to get to like 78. But by then, she'll probably be like, no, I've surpassed.
Same here. Same. And I want to also live in Germany because that's super cool that she was there for over 4 or 5 years, I think she said. Incredible.
I wish that we asked if she got tired of the food because I love Germany and I like the food
Bratwurst.
For a bit. But then after like a certain point, you're kind of like, no more meat and potatoes.
No more German potato salad or just potatoes.
Out, you know, like. But I think she was really interesting. What were your tech takeaways? What'd you think?
Someone who fully doesn't know techno, I think it's wonderful. I think it really opens the door, how she had shared that anyone that wants to kind of get involved in Women Who Code. I think it's great. I think that's amazing that she kind of paved the way for, made it easier for people who are interested can kind of get involved at a global level, which is incredible.
For everybody listening right now, one, I just want to tell you all that you're a very, very amazing audience, but we also got a very amazing guest host today, Shelby. And for those of you who don't know Shelby, she was so shy today. She was so excited and like nervously shy, and it was amazing to see through the screen. Because no one else could see this but me, Shelby. And I don't think Elena knows you well enough to know.
She doesn't know me well enough. She's just like, this girl doesn't speak. I think she just realizes that I don't speak.
But. You're speaking. You're just fangirling so much totally. In the background. I was like, oh, there we go. If you are also fangirling Elena and you want to know more about her, or if you want to know more about Women Who Code, we would love to help you find out more information. You should get involved. Check out the mail out that we sent. And don't forget to contact us at contact@thattechpod.com with any questions that you may have. Please head over to our website, www.thattechpod.com, to enter your email to subscribe. And follow us on LinkedIn or any other social media that we do have. And Shelby, you work at SiriusXM, so what else do you think the audience can do to help us?
I mean, obviously you said it all. Like and subscribe, follow. Do all the things, download all the podcasts, stream multiple times because downloads count. And listen to the podcast from different devices so you can have more unique listeners.
Ooh, that was a good sneaky tip. Loved it.
That was a sneaky tip.
Thanks to everyone for listening.
See ya.